Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Look at the principles. Is it violating the principle of our founding? Do we want our country to start to look more like China, where there's cameras everywhere and, you know, you'll start social score? You know, are we turning into a dystopian society? But are the camera things there to extort money? Is that the main reason? Is that why they're trying to do this? Is the force behind it is the main reason to get money? Is that the main reason, or is it really there to protect the people?
So the Santa Rosa County Commission took up the question of whether or not to consent to what the school district and the sheriff's office have said to them, which is, hey, would y'all please pass an ordinance that allows us to put in speed cameras in school zones? And as you heard, and as you might not have been surprised to discover, the hyperbole was not, I wouldn't say in great effect, in great presence, but enough. There are enough people who think that having cameras is the, you know, sign of the apocalypse, and we're just all on our, you know, rapidly advancing towards 1984, some, you know, hyper enforceable authoritarian state or whatever. And I understand that. You know, I've seen Enemy of the State too. I'm aware. I have concerns. I just don't have concerns about this. You know, it'd be like if you came to me and said, well, Andrew, you're always concerned about, like, the, you know, Skynet taking over and Judgment Day and the AI and the robots and all this stuff. Like, yeah, yeah. But this particular robot seems okay to me. You know, I'm not a fan of the self-driving cars and the Ring cameras and the smart TVs and the smart, you know, everything and the iWatch that monitors your every motion to report back to whoever so that, you know, people can know everything you do, or the TikTok that's done by the Chinese. But, you know, I like this app, you know, and that's what I would ask you to do in this case. Speed cameras in school zones don't offend my sense of libertarianism, freedom, anything, not even the slightest. If anything, the license plate readers that are used all across our area, far more concerning from a liberty perspective and a privacy perspective than the speed zone cameras. I'm really on the fence about the license plate readers personally. I get the value, but the more value they have, the more concerns I have, because the kind of value that they provide comes directly at the expense of a whole bunch of concerns I have about liberty and freedom of motion and government intrusion and knowledge. Speed zone cameras, if you can't go to the correct speed in this is schools. Sorry, I don't think I've said that enough times. In school speed zones, you know, if you can't go the right speed in the school zone, then, you know, that's on you, bro. And listen, I live next to a school zone. If they put them in Escambia County, I'm gonna hate it on my street. I am. But so what? It's kids, right? And that's kind of the end of the conversation. So, no, I don't think this is part of some greater dystopian future. I don't think this is some great violation of privacy. I think that we have a problem with people speeding in school zones. And, you know, particularly when it comes to kids, we think differently about these things.
This is kind of a no-brainer for us. I understand the touchiness of it because, like I said, I think I'm the one that's been busted by a red light camera. and I get it. I get the gist of it, but you know, that's kind of where I stand on those things. It's you can't stop idiots from being idiots. That's all it is to it. And I've seen some of the stupidest stuff around the schools and around school buses.
You know, sometimes you're in the habit of making an expression that actually undermines the case, but you think it's bolstering your case. I think that's happened here with Kerry Smith. If this is true, if what he says here is correct,
you can't stop idiots from being idiots.
Then we shouldn't have speed cameras in school zones. The whole point is to stop idiots from being idiots. Deterrence is the goal, because having the cops there with the blue lights on is obviously not adequate. So literally, if we cannot stop idiots from being idiots, then there's no point to having the cameras. Then they do become just a money grab. It's just like the red light cameras in Pensacola. If it doesn't reduce red light running, and if it doesn't reduce collisions, then it is just a money grab. Because, you know, imagine a world in which everybody runs a red light, but there are no accidents. Well, okay. Right? I mean, they're breaking the rule, but if there's no accidents, so what? So the real proof of the value of the program is that there are fewer accidents, and because we know that people running red lights makes for more accidents, that if you have fewer people running red lights, then that's good. Same with the school speeds. You know, if it doesn't change behavior, then, you know, the results are going to be what the results are. And it is just a money grab, you know, making people pay for stuff. So I think he doesn't really mean that particular bit of analysis, but, and I think even Kerry would recognize that. Bobby Burkett, County Commissioner Bobby Burkett.
This is not about money. You give me a price tag on a child. How much is a child's life worth? Give it to me. Is it worth a $100 fine? Is it worth a $200 fine? What's a child's life worth? That's what this is about. It's saving a child's life, because people do not pay attention to the law.
Yeah, and that's been the argument about this throughout, which is why we're you know, how many times have you heard me say this, John? If we really were committed to having absolutely zero fatalities on the road, we'd go to what? 15-mile-an-hour speed limits.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Cars would be regulated at 15 miles an hour, right? If the only trade-off in the world that mattered was saving people's lives, we'd all have 15 and 20 mile an hour, even on the interstate, right? Well, we're not willing to do that because there are trade-offs involved in everything. But when it comes to kids, we are willing to make that. I mean, think, what do we say around schools when kids are present? High chance of bad things, so slow down to 20 miles an hour. Why? Because nothing bad happens at 20 miles an hour, is the idea, right? So, you know, we're willing to make that trade, and under ordinary circumstances, too much of a price to pay. But when it comes to a high percentage of kids, you know, we accept that the rules need to be different. Colton Wright.
I've heard the term dystopian society, Big Brother, 1984, and things like that mentioned regarding school zone cameras. And here are the facts. The very same people that make that argument probably have a Ring doorbell camera on their front door, and they're filming people drive up and down the street. No matter where you go, if you're outside of your home, you're now on camera these days.
And I don't know, he's asserting that it's the same people, and it may be, but certainly the concern about bringing a future surveillance state into reality is far more a matter of the Ring doorbell cameras than it is a matter of the school speed cameras, right? And that point, I don't think you can even disagree with.
Now the problem is, I've heard people say, well, you got a deputy sitting there. Why aren't they doing something about it? Well, you got a deputy sitting there that's oftentimes a school resource officer. And they're sitting there with their lights on trying to get everyone's attention, one, to slow down. And that resource officer is oftentimes helping kids move, or they're directing traffic for the parent drop-off. Okay? If somebody runs through there at 20 over, you can't expect that school resource officer to hop in the patrol car and then go chase that person down and then not man their post. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, they're there for a particular reason and not for that, nor do we have enough of them to be able to do it effectively. It really is a manpower issue.
The very same people that argue against the cameras would be upset if the sheriff's department had five unmarked vehicles hiding in the woods waiting for people to come speeding through the school zone, and then they went and chased them down and wrote them tickets. Because they'd say, oh, you're sitting there sniping me, you're hiding, you're not being in plain sight.
Who are you talking about now?
So the fact is, it's simply a manpower issue. There's no way that the sheriff's office or any law enforcement agency can do enough to deter and capture people that are speeding through school zones.
By the way, I love this argument. The idea is, well, you're complaining about the cameras. Would you be okay if we just put five motorcycle cops at every school zone and they went and grabbed everybody? Well, no, they're just trying to, you know, like sometimes people just want to object. Sometimes people just want to do the wrong thing. Sometimes people just want to speed through wherever they go. All right, that's the real issue. It always reminds me of my favorite story is, one of my favorite stories, neighbor goes to borrow his neighbor's lawnmower. You know, he says, hey, can I borrow your lawnmower? He says, no, I'm cooking soup. He says, well, you told me I could borrow your lawnmower. Yeah, but I'm cooking soup. He says, well, what? I need to borrow the lawnmower. I am cooking soup, so no. He said, what in the world does cooking soup have to do with me borrowing your lawnmower? He says, nothing. But if I don't want to loan you my lawnmower, any excuse is just as good as any other. And for some people with the cameras, it's, you know, any excuse is as good as any other. By the way, that story is applicable to a lot of issues. It's good to learn when people really have a disagreement based on the actual reasons they're giving, or when people are just giving reasons because they are unwilling to enter into being persuaded and they just want to be on the other side for whatever the actual reasons are. You notice this when you knock down those reasons and show that they are inaccurate or poorly founded or the evidence is contrary or whatever, but they still won't change their mind. Well, you find out that those weren't the reasons anyway. So I'm sure you all have applications in your life that this makes sense of. So one of the questions that did come up, and this I think is actually a good question. Okay, fine, during school times when kids are present during the school days, but what about weekends? What about midday? What about in the evening? And what about holidays?
The only concern I have with it, I fully support this other than one thing, is when school is not in session, are we going to have the ability to cut those cameras off? That's my only concern. It's because I know in the past, I've heard from people getting citations going through school zone when school's not in session. So that's the only concern I have with it. But other than that, I'm 100% for it.
Yeah, and that's a fair concern, right? So they had the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Deputy. I didn't catch his name. I'm sorry. I probably should have, but I didn't anyway.
The company has the capability that once we give them the calendar to disregard certain days, and I'm sure that's an option since it's, you know, it's computer generated. I'm sure they're able to put parameters in there that will negate any days that there's no kids there, that it won't create citations.
Yeah, so Veterans Day, Columbus Day, Thanksgiving, toggle off. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., toggle off. You know, Saturday, Sunday, toggle off. And by the way, there's always a sheriff deputy is going to be, you know, last eyes before a ticket goes out. So they will be able to see it, verify it. It's very easy to verify a speed issue, but it's got a date on it. And of course, they know, and he mentioned this, they know the date schools are out. And if one comes through for that, they'll decline it. So this to me is a real simple thing. And, you know, it's $100. It's just don't speed in the school zones. It's really that simple. 437-1620. I would also, this is going to sound a little bit mean, but I'm going to say it anyway, okay? The people who are complaining about 1984 and Brave New World and dystopian society, I would just wonder, and this is, I shouldn't even say it, it's so petty. Have you actually read the books? No, maybe you have. Maybe you have. Okay, but since these are my favorite books in the whole wide world, because sometimes you just know these are the phrases I'm supposed to say. But I will say this, the good news is I actually am happy that people are able to refer to Orwell and Huxley and, you know, use words like dystopian, because those are good concepts to have. And I learned that not everybody knows those reference points. And so if you say, well, that's Orwellian, and they say, who? Animal Farm for the earlier students and 1984 for the later students. How about that? You know, Anthem for the beginners, Atlas Shrugged for the more advanced. No, I know they're not the same, but if you've read the... I'm just going to move on and stop being so arrogant. I'm Andrew McKay.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking? 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts, and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA, PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Guys, don't propose with a ring that she didn't pick out. Trust us, she already has a ring in mind. So engage with Gage Diamonds, in person or online, where Gage's skilled ring designers will work with her to create the perfect setting, matched with the perfect stone. Gage specializes in exquisite lab-grown diamonds. Financing available. GageDiamonds.com. We're engagement's middle name.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Bill S. Preston, Esquire.
And I'm Ted Theodore Logan.
Yeah!
And we're Wild Stallions!
I feel like if Bill and Ted were just about 10 years later, they would have been playing Jane's Addiction instead of whatever they were playing. 526 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, the big announcement yesterday. Remember I was talking yesterday about how yesterday was likely to be your last Blue Angels practice of the season? They had off-schedule practices yesterday, and I said, hey, go if you really want to see the Blues, you know, because we're not having an air show. Oh, and then we're getting an air show. I mean, sort of. The Blues are flying today, and the bases open today.
So that's our air show?
The air show is, yeah, the Blue Angels are flying today at 1 o'clock, which is not their normal time to fly during the air show. Normally fly at 3 during the air, 2 during the air show. They're flying at 1, which is their normal practice time. But the bases open, start at 9 a.m. this morning.
But I can't buy a T-shirt and food.
No, you're not going to have all the merch or the static displays or whatever. It's going to be the typical practice environment where you go back. And the gates to the show line are going to be open at 11. So my only question is, what time are we at capacity?
Sure.
And be kind and courteous when you're backed up at the gate, at the back gate at Blue Angel to... it's going to be a hot mess, I would think, this morning. People are going to line up early, get the last semi-show of the year for the Blue Angels. So that's good news. That's really good news. I don't know if Bert's flying, because Bert's going to go off to maintenance. This could be the last chance to see Bert for a year, too. So that's just, true. You know, things to keep in mind. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know, they were out practicing yesterday, Andrew, in the afternoon, and I was out with Caitlin. We had her on the swing set. All of a sudden, I just hear this loud roar, and I look up, and there they come in one of those upside-down formations with all of them right over my backyard. It was
nice.
So cool. It was awesome. She was just staring up, plane. It was great.
Oh, I bet.
All right. Headlines. That's probably why I'm here.
Sure.
Pete Hegseth has announced a new military operation targeting narco terrorists and protecting America's neighborhoods. The Secretary of War said on Thursday that the Western Hemisphere is America's neighborhood and we will protect it. U.S. strikes on alleged drug boats have now killed about 80 people so far. Hamas has returned the body of a dead hostage to Israel. Israeli authorities confirmed on Thursday that body is that of 73-year-old Menny Goddard, who was killed during the Hamas raid on southern Israel in 2023. And Verizon has released some information. They're cutting about 15,000 jobs. This out of the Wall Street Journal. They said yesterday the cuts are the largest ever for Verizon, and they're set to take place next week. The report says Verizon is trying to reduce costs as they're contending with increased competition.
Yeah, Mint Mobile is $15 a month.
I mean, and it works just as well.
I have had Mint Mobile for like 3 years, and it was a little, there were a couple of times it was a little bit sketchy in the beginning. You know, like texts wouldn't go through quite right in certain places of my house, but they fixed all, I mean, it just, yeah. I mean, it's hard to compete. What's your monthly cell bill, typical monthly cell bill, $60-$70 for a lot of people? It's hard to compete against $15, so yeah, I understand. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 529 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Doritos and Cheetos are going to go to the, what they're calling the NKD, or the naked, you know, version of them, which is meant to get rid of the artificial colors and, you know, be more Bobby Kennedy Jr. compliant or whatever. And what have we always said? What have we always said about this, John?
I don't change my flavor.
I just, as long as it tastes the same.
Yes.
If I'm in a dark room watching the TV, eating my Cheetos and my Doritos, or both, mix and match, whatever, and I can't tell the difference, fine. You know, I'm not so married to the idea of the Cheetle dust, you know, getting all over your fingers. I don't care about that. I do care how it tastes. And my brain is not going to believe you if you give me a tortilla chip looking Dorito and I put it in my mouth and it tastes just like the nacho cheese. But as long as it tastes just like the nacho cheese, I will learn to adapt.
You're good. You will adapt.
I will. So I'm fine as long as, key point, it tastes exactly the same. Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge, these are no-brainer MVP votes.
Right.
I mean, of course. So I was actually surprised that both, I think it's Aaron Judge's third and Shohei's fourth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a little surprised both of them haven't gotten it more often.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. House Speaker Mike Johnson decided to quickly schedule a House vote on an effort to force the release of all the Jeffrey Epstein files.
His hand was forced after his swearing in of Democrat Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva. She became the 218th member to support an effort to force the House to make it all public.
That is Fox's Mike Emanuel. Now, the Trump administration says it's working to bring down the cost of living ahead of the midterms, with Vice President J.D. Vance sounding off on pocketbook issues. Top of mind, housing costs.
Data from the National Association of Realtors shows the qualifying income needed to afford a median-priced home has jumped to more than $100,000 in 2024, up from about $85,000 in 2022.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. The administration recently floated the idea of 50-year mortgages. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3, 53 degrees, clear skies this morning. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Pensacola's downtown getting a makeover. The reimagined Palafox project was approved in a 5-2 vote last night by the city council. The $10.7 million project will be funded mostly by the city CRA, but FPL is chipping in about $3 million towards that project. Construction is expected to start in January. Completion of that project would be expected next summer. A Pensacola man has pleaded guilty in federal court to attempting to kill an Escambia County deputy during a traffic stop last December. 21-year-old Darian Finley was driving a stolen vehicle when deputies tried to pull him over. After a chase, a deputy used a maneuver to stop the car. Authorities say Finley fired a shot into the deputy's vehicle and then tried to run away with a gun. A canine took him down. The deputy shot Finley when he tried to flee again. Finley survived and now faces life in prison. He's set to be sentenced in January. A man who killed a child in Brevard County is dead after being executed yesterday. Brian Frederick Jennings was put to death last night at the Florida State Prison. The 66-year-old former Marine was convicted of kidnapping, raping, and killing a 6-year-old in 1979. This is Florida's 16th execution of the year. Well, the government shutdown is over, but the effects of it are still being felt at airports across the state. Over 200 delays and cancellations yesterday. That's just at the Miami International Airport. Cancellations also reported in Orlando and Tampa, and no word when flight schedules will get back to normal. A Walton County man is accused of beating a pregnant woman. The sheriff's office said yesterday that Ponce de Leon's Lance Diamond Johnson was arrested for attacking the woman earlier this week. Deputies say a witness reported seeing Johnson push the woman to the ground and hit her in the face. The alleged victim claims that Johnson also choked her. Johnson is charged with aggravated battery on a pregnant victim. Investigators say there could be more charges on the way. Well, car thieves are using high-tech tactics to steal newer vehicles with push-button start systems. PPD's Mike Wood says that he's been tracking those theft trends, and key fob cloning is becoming more and more common.
If you have that fob in your pocket, all you have to do is walk up to your car. It recognizes that signal coming from your key fob, and it opens the door. It lets you start the car and drive off. Well, what these people are doing in relay attacks is they will see that newer car in the driveway. They will take a device and stand on the sidewalk or stand in your driveway and intercept that signal that that key fob is constantly emitting while it's sitting there.
And he says that they can then clone that clone that signal, which gives them access to your vehicle. Wood says many people make this process a little bit too easy by keeping their keys right by the front door. His advice: store them in a Faraday pouch. But if you don't have one, an old metal cookie tin might work just as well. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at some partly cloudy skies today, high near 74 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. For Friday, nice sunny skies with a high near 75 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 56. Going into Saturday, plenty of sunshine, high near 75. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 53 degrees in Pensacola. Our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. Toyota confirms it has started production of a new $13.9 billion battery plant in North Carolina. Perhaps even more noteworthy, the Japanese automaker plans to invest up to $10 billion more than previously expected over the next 5 years in the U.S. The North Carolina facility, Toyota's first in-house battery plant outside of Japan. Again this year, the online platform CableTV.com is searching for a chief of cheer whose job will require watching 25 holiday movies in 25 days. The individual chosen for that task will be paid $2,500 and get free subscriptions to DirecTV, Disney+, and Hulu. You have through December 3rd to apply for that cushy gig. Wall Street futures are indicating a mixed start to today's market session. On Wednesday, the Dow Jones Industrials notched the blue chip index's first ever close above the 48,000 level. The S&P 500 essentially flat, NASDAQ a bit lower, though. That's Your Money Now.
Fall is here, and White Sands Electric wants to remind you it's the perfect time of year for safety upgrades, like replacing that antique breaker panel or adding surge protection. Also, it's getting darker earlier, and White Sands Electric wants their commercial clients to know their 42-foot and 65-foot bucket trucks and their 126-foot boom lift can take care of virtually any exterior lighting repairs or upgrades. Call 850-433-6080 or visit whitesandselectric.com today.
Running a business is tough, but getting connected shouldn't be. Data Revolution is making it easy with free installation of phones and network upgrades. Whether you're opening a new office or upgrading your current setup, our expert team handles everything fast, reliably, and with zero installation fees. Search Data Revolution today to schedule your free installation and see our over 70 five-star reviews. Data Revolution is helping your business stay connected.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line. You heard me right. Here's how. Tune to 98.7. Wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed. Then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola right now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes.
in a different way. Did you air strum? God knows it ain't his. You have to air strum at that part or you're really not paying attention. One more time. All right, 538 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Friday. Good to have you with us. Yesterday, Wednesday, we had a chance to see the groundbreaking for the remote or the Regional Traffic Management Center, the RTMC, that's going to house the Advanced Traffic Management System, the ATMS, next to the EOC. There was a bunch of people in attendance from the BCC and the TPO. I don't know. It just makes me laugh. Maybe I'm the only one. But this is really big stuff. This is going to affect your life because the ability to manage traffic lights affects whether emergency vehicles can get through, whether the military can respond to Hurlburt in a timely fashion if there's an activation, and just under ordinary circumstances, whether you get to and from work or anywhere you go with ease or not. And so that's what this is designed. And, you know, lives saved, emissions conserved, cost of transportation decreased, you know, all of these things are part of this goal to remotely operate the traffic cameras and, you know, to try to encourage people to drive better by managing around their bad driving to begin with. So one of the people I spoke with there is the he's with MyoVision. That's the company that actually designs and operates and improves the software, the AI, all the stuff that's going to go into this. And his all of a sudden, I put his name out of my way. Curtis McBride. So Curtis McBride talked to him at the event on Wednesday.
So tell me your name and what you do.
So my name is Curtis McBride. The company is MyoVision Technologies, and we help cities to understand and optimize traffic flow.
Oh, fantastic. So you are the operating system and the principles and what's going to actually happen on the streets with the technology that's being going to come into this building, right?
We hope so. I mean, we're already doing a lot of work with various agencies around here. We actually got our very first customer about 11 years ago was Escambia County. So okay. we love working in the area. And yeah, as they expand what they're looking to do, we're hoping to be a big part of it.
So tell me, you know, imagine I don't know anything. Tell me what MyoVision is, what it's been doing, and what it'll do better once you have this building constructed.
Yeah, so I mean, fundamentally, we help cities to understand congestion and traffic safety. So help them to understand it and then improve it. So if you don't like waiting at a red, you know, we're the group that comes in and helps. Or if you want to improve, you know, cyclist safety, we can come in and help. And then today, for some of the folks that are here, we demonstrated an ability to bring data from an intersection directly into the dash of a car. So it tells you, you know, you want to avoid hitting that red light ahead, drive 60% the speed limit, and the light will turn green by the time you get there, so you can avoid stopping.
Okay, so it's a lot of times it's not just about cleaning up congestion; it'd be about facilitating traffic flow, which, you know, slower can be smoother, and smoother traffic is more fuel efficient. It feels more enjoyable as the, you know, the driver or the passenger. Am I thinking about the right things here?
No, that's exactly it. So I mean, traditionally we would help cities to change timing without really having the driver be involved in making traffic better, but by bringing that information directly into the cab of the vehicle, all of a sudden the driver can actually be a participant in making traffic flow better because they have more knowledge about, you know, how the traffic lights are going to change.
And now, is that Commissioner Wright had said that was certain brands of cars. Is that something that's only in some brands? It's optional. It's becoming ubiquitous. What's the status of that in-car information availability?
Yeah, so we're working really hard to get it into every make and model of OEM vehicle we can. Today we're in the Volkswagen group, so, you know, Volkswagen, Audi, those kind of vehicles.
Okay.
And then we were also actually talking to the commissioner about potentially doing a white label app so that people, if they don't drive an Audi, they could still download an app and have the same exact experience.
And then talk a little bit about, because I think people understand some of the traffic management stuff with lights, timing, flushing, the AI learning about the patterns and being able to recognize what didn't work in the past and implement it in the future. But talk about how this is going to work with multimodal, with pedestrians, bicyclists, my least favorite thing in the whole wide world, e-bikes. But how is this system going to affect safety for them and also for the drivers dealing with them?
Yeah, so I'll give you a few examples, but one of the examples would be one of the things that our system does is it looks for near crashes, right? So we've all had that experience where you're like, ooh, that was a close call.
By the way, I love that you call it a near crash instead of a near miss. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, well done. Go on.
Yeah. So with a near crash, instead of looking at 10 years of crash history and going, okay, this is unsafe because we have 10 years of data saying it's unsafe based on actual crashes, we look at statistics about like near crashes, and then instead of having to wait 10 years before you fix a problem, you can take a proactive step and basically you know try to fix the problem before something actually occurs. So that's one thing. The other thing that we were showing off today is that because we have real-time knowledge of, you know, is there a cyclist in the intersection? Is there a pedestrian in the intersection? We can actually get that
through sensors that are separate from the cameras or integrated into the cameras and the lights?
It's a video-based sensor. So we run software. We don't move the video anywhere, but we run software on the video stream and turn it into metadata that says, hey, there's a bus.
You have a raw feed that the AI interprets.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, but because we have that data coming in to use for things like our near miss product, we can stream that real time to a driver to say, hey, be extra alert. Maybe it's dark or it's foggy. Be extra alert. There's a cyclist in the crosswalk as you approach the intersection. So just giving, you know, that additional sort of eye in the sky, additional context to the driver can be really powerful in terms of like improving safety.
And as I remember, the first corridor for experimenting with some of this, particularly the pedestrian safety, is US 29, basically right up the road here.
Yep.
From I-10. Somewhere around Brent or Airport, I think, is the stretch that it's going to be. Is that right? Am I thinking about the right things in conjunction with each other now?
You might know more than me.
Oh, okay.
there was a day when I knew everything going on.
All right, fair enough.
But that sounds about right.
I mean, a perennial problem that we have in this area is people at night crossing, not at crosswalks, not at lights, wearing dark clothing. It's very dangerous for them. Yep. Very dangerous for other cars. This integrated system is designed to try to solve some of that too, right?
Yeah, exactly. So anywhere where we have a visual sensor where we can see someone doing that, we can get that information into the vehicle. So, and whether that's a passenger vehicle or, you know, through partnerships with folks like Samsara and Geotab, we actually get it into freight vehicles, right?
Okay.
So if you think about like a large transport truck trying to, you know, navigate the network safely, getting information to them about, you know, cyclists alongside your truck, or a cyclist ahead of you. Those kinds of things can be big difference makers.
Last question for you is, how much of this, it sounds like in an ideal world you'd have, I mean, like self-driving cars obviously is going to be more and more prevalent. This kind of technology would be perfect for using them because they're not the human reacting to the news, they are just implementing the news as they get it. But how much of a difference can you make in efficiency when it's still human drivers making the choices, reacting to the information, incomplete even reception of the signal because they don't maybe have the right kind of car or the right app? How much difference can it make when we're in the between here and there stage?
I mean, I think we can make a big difference. There are certainly, you know, distracted driving. You know, if you're not paying attention to the alert that we give you that tells you to be extra alert, like, you know, there's only so much we can do there. But if we assume that, you know, drivers on average are good actors and want to be safe and want to avoid hitting pedestrians and things like that, I think getting that information to those drivers can be really impactful.
I said last, but I do have one other that made me think of. Is there any element of this that is designed to identify either impaired, drowsy, drunk? Is there any part of this that's meant to be assisting law enforcement and you could alert the driver, hey, you're drowsy, you know? I mean, yeah. I think of a system like that that, I mean, some people might be apprehensive about that, but also if that's what it takes to really help get bad drivers off the road or to drive better, it seems like it could be useful. But I don't know, is the technology moving towards that?
I mean, some of the things you said probably not wouldn't necessarily be us, which isn't to say that it couldn't be done. Like, but we're at the intersection, kind of, you know, 30 feet in the air, looking down at what's going on. So things like drowsy driving, you know, it'd be hard for us to distinguish that.
Not so much down the road surface as much. Okay.
Yeah. But for example, like let's say we saw someone, in the path that we see the vehicle taking, they're swerving all through the intersection in the field of view that we have, and that looks, you know, way outside of what would be a normal, you know, pattern for a vehicle to drive through the intersection. It's not something we do today, but we could certainly, like that, like there's nothing technically stopping us from, you know, building a little learning algorithm that could say that looks like someone who's either impaired, maybe having cardiac arrest, like something where responder might want to just go and check on it. But again, not something we do today.
Very well. Thank you for the time. Thanks for working on this. Nice to meet you, and absolutely appreciate all the work being done for traffic safety.
Yeah. Well, we love the opportunity. So thank you.
You bet.
Yeah.
And John, you and I were kind of talking during the interview. You're eager to see it interact with the self-driving cars.
Yes, like Tesla, now they updated their software. So now it's autonomous driving. You could put your home starting point and a destination.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Tesla car, the new Model Y, will drive that way for you.
We'll run the route for you.
And, yep. I've seen videos of it, and I'm just like blown away.
And I would assume that, you know, sort of long-term possibilities is that, sure, exactly, this kind of data collection and analysis with the AI is going to be useful for interacting with the self-driving cars and helping them. You know, and it's all the weird stuff, like the traffic lights having the, what was it? It's having a white light attached to the traffic light, which is to tell you that there's the presence of self-driving cars, and instead of obeying the traffic light, you're supposed to just follow the car in front of you.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's why I remember this from several months ago, that one of the medium-range plans for, while there's still humans driving, but, you know, there are also a lot of machines driving, that what they're going to want you to do is, when you get to an intersection, if it's, again, I'm going on memory, but I think this is what it was, is if it has the white light on it, then your instruction is not to do red, yellow, you know, or green. Your instruction is just follow the car in front of you. You know, and with this kind of a system, smoothing out the traffic, helping you to slow down a little bit, because sometimes slower is faster.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, think about your interstates, right? Why do you have, why is it that looky-loos cause a five-mile backup? Because slower is faster. Smooth, continuous is faster by a lot. It's when people, you know, tap the brakes, they create a ripple, the ripple magnifies, and then you're stuck for 5 miles. That's why, not to soapbox too much, but the single best thing you can do as a citizen, as a member of the society, is when you're on the interstate and you get to the part where there's the wreck, go as fast as you can and don't look at it. Because if everybody did that, there'd be no traffic backup. Eyes forward, go as fast as you can. That's it. That's the solution.
And that's why I love my adaptive cruise control, because if I do come up on something like that, it will adjust for me.
Yeah. Okay. All right, fine. Speaking of, if you're thinking about getting that next vehicle, especially you'd like one that has some of those new technology features, like John likes so much, Frontier Motors has got all of that stuff. They don't have brand new cars. They have one-year-old cars. You know, car or two or three, okay, cars that are between a year and three or four and, you know, 10,000 to, you know, 50,000 miles. A lot of their cars come back off leases. You know, ours was a corporate lease, our Honda Odyssey that we bought. It came back in Orlando, was a pre-owned certified, you know, because we looked it up on the, you know, the history of the vehicle. It was pre-owned certified in Orlando. They couldn't sell it. They had a rule that in 90 days a car goes to auction, went to auction. Frontier bought it cheap, sold it to us cheap, and we got a sweet car that was a year old with 10, 12,000 miles on it, and we have loved ever since. Because that's the kind of car that Frontier specializes in. So if you want one that's newer, that's nicer, that you like, that may actually, depending on the amount of money you're spending on maintaining your old car, might even save you money, but certainly won't be much more expensive if that's the case. Frontier Motors, check them out. 300 good quality cars on the lot, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Cole, you're wandering all over the track.
Yeah, well, that son of a just slammed into me.
No, he didn't slam into you. He didn't bump you. He didn't nudge you. He rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
I think I played this one yesterday.
Yeah, oh, but well, it's still good.
It's still good.
Rubbin's racing, baby.
Oh, that's right. 5:54 on New. Oh, sure, you're a cop. Okay. it's a good show. It is. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Is that the movie that got Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise married?
Well, they're both in it, but I didn't know if they got married.
I think that's the one where they met, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they met anyway. In that one.
All right.
Days of Thunder.
Well, I figured they knew that part.
Well, just
but you're right.
You're right.
Just maybe they did. You're right. Don't take it for granted. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem praising TSA agents for their work during the government shutdown. Noem said on Thursday that TSA agents at America's airports stepped up and showed outstanding service and patriotism. She also announced $10,000 checks for agents who worked throughout the shutdown. A South Carolina man that taunted police with messages written in blood is set to be executed by firing squad today. Stephen Bryant, he murdered three people over 8 days in 2004, including a 62-year-old man whose blood was used to write, "Catch me if you can," on a wall. And three Chinese astronauts have now landed safely back on Earth after their spaceship was damaged by flying debris. The crew of the Shenzhou 20 spacecraft was supposed to finish their mission at China's space station last week, but had to postpone their flight home after space debris cracked a window on the ship. Instead, they returned home 9 days later on the Shenzhou 21 spacecraft that transported their replacement crew.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Big story. One of the sort of pioneers of modern Pensacola passed away, actually died on Veterans Day on Tuesday. But Wilmer Mitchell, the guy who, along with Bob Snow, renovated and resuscitated what was, I guess, a warehouse before it was Seville Quarter. The huge family, seven kids, passed away at the age of 92. I was reading some of the article. Troy Moon has a really good article in the P&J about it. I guess he was an athlete originally, you know, as an up-and-coming kid, and then, you know, very successful law firm, and I guess argued before the Supreme Court, at least was certified to do so. And, that's actually, both of them passed away this year. Bob Snow passed away in January at the age of 82, so... big news locally, you know, I mean, think of all of the things that have happened over the years at Seville Quarter and the whole complex and in that vicinity. I mean, you know, we tend to a lot of times think of Palafox as the street, but I mean, Government Street is every bit as much. It's just shorter, you know, the historic, meaningful part of town. And it's kind of hard to imagine what downtown would be without that portion of it. Right. So major news that came out yesterday for sure. 437-1620, we had another execution. Child murderer was executed. I'll shed no tears over this. I don't want to tell you all the details, but I do keep bringing this up because generally news media keeps making a big deal of this, that we are killing our inmates who have been sentenced to death. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to execute the people on death row. And, Governor DeSantis he's clearing out the line. This is exactly how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be perfunctory. You do it. The problem with the death penalty as a deterrent is that it takes us 20 years to do it, and then half the time you feel like it doesn't even happen. There's no connection. It's like, you know, a kid does something terrible, and then 4 weeks later you spank him. Like, he doesn't learn a lesson. Nobody learns from that. They've got to learn it at the time or close enough to the time to make it make sense. And, you know, here you have another case of, I guess I am. This guy, I don't really love saying his name because I just don't want to give him any attention. He murdered a little girl. He climbed in her room, in her bedroom, took her out, and he did everything you can imagine. It's genuinely atrocious. I don't even want to tell you the story because you put the details in your head and then you picture it and then, you know, it'll make you horrified, and it should. And thank God he's dead. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. Murderers get killed. And by the way, as a Christian, I talk about this sometimes, but as a Christian, I don't believe in the death penalty only because it is justice or only because it has a deterrent effect or only because it is retributive. I believe in it because it honors the humanity of the murderer. You give the murderer a chance to pay the only way the Bible says you can pay for life, which is with life, for blood, with blood. You're actually allowing them to pay the only way that they can pay for it. And so, you know, saying that this is, you know, dehumanizing or disrespectful or anti-Christian, no, I view it exactly the other way around. We've been given an instruction that this is exactly what you're supposed to do with certain kinds of criminals. And when we don't do it, we are failing to represent God's justice and, you know, God's instructions really for us. So, yeah, I disagree pretty vehemently with the people who are philosophically, religiously, prudentially opposed to the death penalty. Because to me, this is how it should look. You know, oh, okay, it's a Friday, number 20, number 17. Okay, and there's one or two more that have already been signed. So, yeah, this is the way it's supposed to work.